This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. JPMorgan Chase had its second quarter earnings conference call today. It started pretty early, 7:30 in New York, unspeakably early out here in California, too early to even mention. So we set up our voicemail to record the choicest bits from CEO Jamie Dimon.
At the tone, record your greeting. At the end of your greeting, press pound.
We are not proud of this moment, but we are proud of our company. Obviously, this one, we shot ourselves in the foot. In spite of this accident, we've had hundreds of people kind of working around the clock now for 3 months to get this thing fixed. And we think we have a very disciplined and detailed management team, all of whom are sorry that we missed this thing. We've learned a lot. I can tell you this has shaken our company to the core. Hopefully, after this is over, we will be a stronger company for it.
Your greeting has been recorded. Goodbye.
Mr. Dimon and his losses are where we begin today. What we had thought was $2 billion in losses from trades gone bad, we now know to be almost $6 billion, 5.8 to be precise. Dimon said this morning he is not sure that's the end of it, but it is where we will start our wrap of the 5 days gone by. Today's usual suspects are John Carney from CNBC. He's in New York. Felix Salmon is here in the Frank Stanton studios with me in Los Angeles. Hey, guys.
Hello, Kai.
Hello.
All right. So, John, J.P. Morgan Chase, is it going to get bigger, first of all?
Yes, it's going to grow. The losses are not contained. J.P. Morgan still hasn't completely exited the positions. It might not get much bigger than this, but it has the potential to get bigger.
Felix, what do you think?
It won't get more than $1 billion bigger. And frankly,
pocket change.
Frankly, when you're the size of J.P. Morgan, you can lose $1 billion down the back of the sofa.
Yeah, but come on. This isn't about the actual dollar amount of the loss, right, Felix?
This is about the out-of-control traders in London who are gambling hundreds of billions of dollars of J.P. Morgan's money, which is deposited with the bank by American depositors, right, guaranteed by the U.S. government, and then J.P. Morgan ships it off to London and gambles it.
And to make things even worse, the traders are lying to their superiors and getting away with lying for quite a bit of time about how much the losses were. I reported on CNBC today that the traders had actually told their bosses that they only had $12 million in losses when the number was actually 20 times that. This is a terrible thing for J.P. Morgan. That kind of loss shouldn't be allowed to happen without somebody hearing about it.
Yeah, well, and we are, right? But Felix, you heard Jamie Dimon in the tape there. He called it an accident. I mean, come on.
This was out of control. Traders in London without adult supervision.
Right.
The woman ultimately in charge of them, Ina Drew, was, you know, she had Lyme disease. She didn't really know what was going on. And they basically just could do whatever they wanted and no one stopped them.
Yeah. John, what's going to – quickly, and then we'll move off on off this subject because I think we've all heard too much about it, frankly. What happens now? Anything?
I think that there's going to be a hard look inside of J.P. Morgan because although they sounded very confident that this isn't happening anywhere else in the bank, there is a question of whether it's too big to manage. If this could happen in this unit, could it happen anywhere else? We don't know.
Yeah, all right. We're going to stay in London, actually. That's where this whole trading thing went bad for J.P. Morgan. We're going to talk about LIBOR, the big scandal from a week ago, Barclays manipulating the rate, and what that says about banks gone crazy. Felix, there is more to come on this story, I'm sure, right?
Today we saw a whole bunch of documents released by the New York Fed because the New York Fed has been talking to traders. That's what they do. That's what their job is. And they've been recording those calls and taking transcripts. And it turns out that the New York Fed was talking very explicitly to people at Barclays who said, yeah, we're lying about LIBOR and so is everybody else. And if the New York Fed knew this, it's kind of implausible that UK regulators didn't.
Right.
But either way, the New York Fed really should have done something.
Well, all right. So, John, two things. One, what could they have done? And number two, let's remember this was back when Timothy Geithner was the head of the New York Fed. But what could they have done, John?
I don't think there's first of all, I think what they should have done is said, look, you guys, we need to put honest numbers in here. But we should also tell people, you know, if the lying that took place at the height of the financial crisis, LIBOR was never meant to be a sort of standalone measure of bank health. So what they could have done is said, look, we are going to change the way we do LIBOR, or we're going to ask you guys to start putting in more honest numbers. The way that it apparently was done, however, was we're going to allow you to keep putting in dishonest numbers, not tell anybody that that's what's happening, allow people to mistakenly use it as a measure of bank health. And I think that's a disaster. I think it erodes trust.
Yeah, okay, Felix, hang on a second, because here's the deal. We have now spent the last 3 minutes and 40-something seconds talking about banks lying, about fraud, about bankers doing irresponsible things with other people's money. Felix, does that not boggle the mind?
And the really sad thing is it doesn't boggle my mind at all.
It comes as no
surprise whatsoever to learn that people whose bonuses
you have become
are dependent
cynical and jaded,
on lying
friend.
And manipulating are going to be lying and manipulating.
John Carney, you.
I think this is a very bad story for the entire world economy. I'm not as cynical as Felix is, and I actually was shocked to see that the lying that was going on at Barclays was as regular and as explicit, and I expect we're going to hear that the same sort of thing was happening at a number of banks across the world.
How many, Felix? Half a dozen? A dozen more banks?
I think all of them. Barclays was at the top, and it was keeping its rates down. There were 16 altogether. I think all of them did it.
John, you think all of them did it?
I think so. There's 16. I would say if it was less than 14 that was lying, I would be surprised.
Wow. Unbelievable. John Carney from CNBC in New York. Felix Salmon from Reuters. He's here in L.A. with me today. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If you want to know more, sorry, John, to step on you. If you want to know more about what Jamie Dimon said today or how J.P. Morgan is actually doing, our New York bureau chief, Heidi Moore, has just the thing for you. Her explainer, it's called J.P. Morgan's Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Trading Loss, is on our website, marketplace.org.